I want to thank Eldon and his elders for putting the family days together for us. That's a huge ministry, a very important ministry of our church. When our family gets together, the church family gets together to do that. So I'm going to need some kids to come up here somewhere and help me. So any of you kids that want to come up, I've got a real simple lesson today. This is a one-liner for you. Just have a seat down there on the seats, on the floor, somewhere, anywhere. Anywhere where you can be, just make yourself comfortable. You're good. Awesome. When you guys get where you're going to be, I'll get where I'm going to be, okay? Let me get a stool here or something, because you're going to help me. So we've been talking to the adults here about our church family and about how important this church family is to us, okay? So I've been telling them that we are like, we're the temple, we're the bride, lots of things like that, how important we are. So church family, adults, I want you to know something today. We have all these young, brilliant minds and eyes here. And so I'm going to teach a lesson. They're going to help me. But I want you to know this. They're watching and feeling more than they are listening. They are watching you and feeling your love over them and for them, probably more than they are going to listen or remember anything about this lesson. They are going to watch and remember you for who you were and how you loved them and what you're doing. They're going to watch you. They're seeing you sing. They're watching you hold the Bible. They're watching you love each other. These eyes are watching, and that's important. We want to build into their life. So, with that said, very simple lesson today. I'm going to ask about five questions. You're going to give me your favorite answer that you love to give to mom and dad. When mom and dad says, "Hey, time to come in and get washed up," your favorite question to them is, some more minutes. You did it, man. The dude did it right there. I'm so proud of you. Why? That's a favorite question. "Hey, guys, it's time. We got to go here. Why? Hey, we got it. You got to eat that. Why?" So that's your line today, all right? I'm going to say a statement. This is what the Bible says. And you've got to say all together.
Why?
You got to say a lot louder, though.
Why?
That's close. Outdoor voice.
Why?
That's it. All right, here we go. We're going to teach the adults. You're going to teach the adults with this. We're going to help them to understand some things, okay? Are you with me? Here's what the Bible says. Bible says that we, our church family, we're a new group of people. We're putting on a new attitude, a new way of doing life. We're a new person in Jesus. When we accept Jesus, we become new. All right, so listen to this. Says, you put off your old self, which belongs to your former manner of life. You don't have a lot of former manner of life yet. And is corrupt through deceitful desires. Be renewed in the spirit of your minds. And here it is. Put on the new you. Put on the new self. We're a new group of people. We're a new self, a new family right here. Created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. Here's your first statement. Therefore, put away lying and let each one of you speak the truth with his neighbor. So the first statement is, don't lie, tell the truth about Jesus to each other. And your answer is?
Why?
Why should I tell the truth? Why do I have to tell the truth? Why do I have to tell the truth? Oh, what about these adults? What about the adults that don't tell the truth? How are we going to spank them? They're big. So that's the first thought. If We're a new group of people. We're a new family. We have to start telling the truth to each other. We have to tell the truth to each other. Now, they asked why, so since you asked why, let me tell you why Jesus says why. Because we're members one of another. Yeah, it wasn't nothing about spanking, Bella. It just said because we all belong to each other. We're all members. We're all part of the family. We're all part of the same body. Would your arm lie to your leg? Oh, I'm not hurting. I'm fine. No, that's fine. That didn't hurt. You would know better, right? Because you're all part of the same body. I can't fool my other parts of my body. If my eyes are burning, I can't see. My whole body knows I can't see where I'm going. You wouldn't lie to your own body. And that's what Jesus says. The reason we don't lie to each other, we have to tell the truth, is because we're so close. We belong to each other. We're family. You wouldn't lie to your mom or to your dad or to your brother or sister. You're family. I mean, that's family, and we are a family here in Jesus. Now, here's the hard part. Telling the truth is usually what really happened, right? Now, tell the truth, what really happened. Did you eat a cookie? That's the truth, right? What really happened? But here's what the Bible says the truth is also. The truth is in Jesus Christ. So here's the truth. Seneca, if I say, tell the truth, do you think that what I did is okay? Tell the truth. Now, that's not what really happened. That's what do you think about what I just did, right? And the truth is not what Seneca feels. Well, that's not too bad. There's a lot worse. I think you're a nice guy. The truth is what Jesus says. So if you really want to tell the truth to each other and someone says, oh man, I'm going to go do this or I went and did that, and you really want to tell the truth, you don't tell them how you feel. You don't tell them if it's going to be okay. You tell them what Jesus said. The truth is what Jesus sees, what really happens in Jesus' eyes. So it's more than just what happened. Did you break that? It's what's the truth? What does Jesus really think about this? So there's two parts to telling the truth. And since we are so close, we are family, we have to do that to each other. We have to tell them what really happened. And we have to tell them, you know, this is what Jesus would think. This is how he sees it. That's the truth. Sometimes that's hard to do even for adults. Here's the second one. Be angry and sin not. Don't let the sun go down on your anger. We'll put that simply. It says, don't sin in your anger and don't be angry overnight. Don't sin in your anger and don't be angry overnight. Why would I say don't sin when you get angry? Don't you get angry sometimes? You get angry at your brother or sister, do you? You get angry at kids at school sometimes? Yeah. Don't sin and don't stay angry overnight. And since you asked why, give no opportunity to the devil. Wow. Did you know when we're angry and we stay mad overnight, the devil wants to come and sit and sleep in our bed and in our place and be a part of our family? We can't be mad at each other overnight. We can't sin. We can't do things wrong because the devil will walk right in that back door and sit down right there. We don't want to give him an opportunity to be part of our family. He's our enemy. We don't like him. He's a bad guy. But when we sin, when we do wrong because we're so mad, I'm just going to say this, bleh! Or I stay mad overnight, and I made you mad today, and you're still mad at me tomorrow, and I'm just opening the door for the devil to come in and really tear up our relationship. And I want to have a good relationship with you guys. You guys get me cool socks. I want to have a good relationship. Christmas is coming up. I want to have a good relationship with you. So I'm not going to stay mad at you overnight. I'm going to get rid of that anger. I'm not going to do that. If I get mad, I'm just going to act like Jesus wants me to act, okay? So you too, if you get mad, don't be mad overnight. Take care of it today. Take care of it today. All right, next one. This is kind of cool. I like this one. Let the thief no longer steal, but rather let him work, doing honest work with his own hands. If you're a thief, or you just like to steal, stop it.
Why?
Stop stealing.
Why?
This is a pretty cool answer. Because you're going to go to jail, you think? No. That's not what God says. Because you could steal from me. You could steal a pair of my socks and you wouldn't go to jail. Here's what the Bible says. So you have something to share with anyone in need. So you have something to share. Work. Get a job. So you have something to share. Now, has mom and dad ever told you you need to share your stuff? You need to share. Yeah. You know what? Adults need to share too. We need to work with our own hands, doing honest, hard work and labor. Stop stealing, but work so we can share with others who have need. There are other people that come into our family and they have needs. We need to help them. So that's what we're going to do. We're going to work real hard. We don't steal. That's not ours. That's wrong. We work so we can share. Now, here's a good one. Here's a good one. Don't speak corruptible words, but build each other up. Don't speak corruptible words, but build each other up. Here's your verse. Let no corrupting talk come out of your mouth, but only such as is good for building up as fits the occasion.
Why?
Why would you not say ucky words? Mean things, things that corrupt, things that tear down, things that hurt people's feelings. Why would you not do that, but say things that build up, to help build and encourage each other? Well, you asked why. What's the purpose of that? Here's what the Bible says. That it may give grace to those who hear. May give grace to those that hear. Instead of cutting somebody down, instead of saying something that's going to hurt them, oh, you're stupid. Oh, that was really dumb. I know. Or worse, there's worse things they say, isn't there? Instead of that, we're going to say things that build them up so that we give grace. Do you know what grace is? Who knows what grace is? What's grace? What is it? Peacefulness. That's good. Maya? Mercy, kind of. Yep. Grace, sure. What else? Anybody know what grace is? Seneca, you know what grace is?
It's the fruit of the Spirit. It's showing mercy and being kind.
Avery, you know what it is? Grace? This is a big word. You guys need to know what grace is. I'll tell you what grace is. Let me read. Let me see if I can read. Where is my reading material? Here it is. It's a little tricky. It's a little harder. Listen. A favor done without expectation of return. A favor done without expectation of getting something back. You're doing something kind and nice. You're saying nice building words to someone. To build them up, it's a favor. With you don't expect anything back. That's grace. Now, here's what it says. Absolute freeness of the loving kindness of God to men, finding its only motive in the bounty and free-heartedness of the giver. Unearned and unmerited favor. And here's the deal. Jesus so loved us, it wasn't anything we could do to earn his love. He wanted to. He is so free. Jesus is totally free to love us and to do whatever he wants that he died on the cross for us. He did it because he loves us. He didn't do it because, well, I think Maya's a pretty nice girl. I'm gonna die for her. And Shelby's nice and Madison's nice. You deserve it. Wasn't anything like that. Jesus died for us because he is totally free. He loves us and he wanted to do something nice with nothing in return. No pat on the back. No, oh, you're so nice. Oh, thank you very much. If you ever want a pat on the back or a thank you, it's not grace. Grace is something you do totally because you're free to be nice and to help people build people up. That's grace. I don't have to have anything back. I'll clean my room. I don't need anything, Mom. I don't need anything. I'll go shovel the driveway. I'll help you do the dishes. I don't need anything in return. I just want to love you. I just love you for your being my mom or my dad and taking care of me. That's grace. That's grace. It's a beautiful thing. Jesus did that for us. Next one. Don't grieve the Holy Spirit. Don't grieve the Holy Spirit.
Why?
Let me ask you a question. Let me ask you a question. How many of you really know what the Holy Spirit is anyway? Do you know what the Holy Spirit is? Yeah. God? Yeah.
Jesus?
Yeah. Hey, did you know something? How many of you have asked Jesus into your heart? You ever pray and ask Jesus into your heart? A couple of you, a few of you did. So did Jesus, like this guy that kind of like me, did he come in and kind of crawl inside of your heart? No. How did Jesus come into your heart? You welcome him. How did he actually do that, though? How did he come into your heart? Did he go down your mouth and into your... No?
Because you love him.
You love Jesus. Do you know how Jesus comes into your heart? The Holy Spirit. That's the Holy Spirit. That's what you've really done. You've really just confessed to Jesus, I love you and I want you to be in me. And he comes into our heart. It's called the Holy Spirit. And now you have the strength and power to do all these things that he's asking you to do. So that's what it is. And he says, don't grieve Jesus in your heart. Don't grieve the Holy Spirit. Why? Because it says, he seals you for the day of redemption. Now this is very important. This is God working now. Don't grieve the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit in you is the guarantee. It is the sealing that you're going to be saved and be with Jesus someday. Let me read this to you. This will be easier for you. So you know that Pastor Terry, sometimes he's a little bit hard to understand. Let me read this to you. Do not bring sorrow to God's Holy Spirit by the way you live. Remember, he has identified you as his own, guaranteeing that you will be saved on the day of redemption. It's the Holy Spirit. It's Jesus in our heart that identifies us. You're a Christian, aren't you? You're a Christian. I've seen you. The Holy Spirit works in your life. You're a Christian. You've asked Jesus into your heart. I've seen the Holy Spirit work in you. And I'm going to keep you and hold you that someday, guaranteed, you are going to be with Jesus. That's pretty cool. So, don't live in such a way that you make the Holy Spirit sad, because he's the one that holds you in his arms. He's the one that brings God's love to you and just holds you for the day of redemption. That's what it says. So work with the Holy Spirit. When he says, hey, man, do this. Don't lie anymore. Do it. Because he's the one who seals you for the day of redemption. Finally, the last one. You guys have been great. You guys are great. Here's the last one. Let all bitterness and wrath, anger, clamor, slander be put away from you, along with all evil intents. Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another. As God in Christ forgave you. Now here's what adults do. Let me tell you what adults do sometimes. They read this verse and they go, Oh yeah, Jesus forgave us, so we have to forgive others. But it's much more than that. Listen to what it says. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor be put away from you. And be kind, tender-hearted to one another. Why? Because Jesus did the same for you. Did you know something? When you asked Jesus into your heart and the Holy Spirit came in, he put away all anger, all wrath, all bitterness. Put it all away from us. When all went away, Jesus is not angry with you when you mess up. Jesus is not bitter towards us. Jesus is not unforgiving towards us. Jesus loves you. You need to know that. Whatever you do in life, wherever you go, I want you to know this. Jesus is not mad at you. If you're Jesus' child, he's going to be with you. He has sealed you. He's holding you. He might discipline you. Sometimes mom and dad says, hey, go sit on that chair for a while. Hey, go to your room for a while. Because they love you. Because they love you. Good question, Shelby. They love you. That's why they do it. Now, here's the point. Here's the point. If that's what God does, this is what I want you to do. Can you do this? This is going to be hard. If you act up someday you know you were naughty. You were naughty. And mom and dad didn't do anything. Mom and dad let you be naughty. Would you, later on that day or the next day, would you go to your mom and dad and say, hey, do you love me? Because I was naughty yesterday and you didn't do anything about it. You let me get away with it and I was horrible. Do you love me? Ask him that. You know what, Jesus, when I do naughty things, Jesus will come and speak to me. He'll discipline me because he loves me. Why did you let me get away with that? That's what Jesus does. Jesus is never angry with you. He's never going to kick you to the side. He's never going to disown you. He might discipline you. He might sit you on a chair. But I want you to know he loves you. And he has given his Spirit. He's come into your heart to seal you. You are mine. You are always going to be my child. Now, you know why? Do you know why the Bible tells us we should be that way to others? Because he wants us to seal the relationships with each other. This family right here is my family. These are my brothers and sisters in Christ. This is our church family, isn't it? And if we put away all bitterness, anger, wrath, gossiping, if we're tender-hearted, compassionate, forgiving one another, we're going to seal these relationships right here. We're going to seal our family here. Nothing will break our family up. Nothing will come between us right here if we do that. That's what Jesus did for us. That's the love that we have to have here in our family. We're going to be like Jesus. These are my friends. These are my brothers and sisters for life. They're my friends. They're my brothers. Now, we're going to watch a little short video right here. You guys, can you watch from there? Or do you want to go back on that seat? Where do you want to watch it from? Right here? Okay, get comfortable because Mark's going to put a little video on. And then you guys are going to help sing.
His sacred command over and over and over again. So not only is it in Scripture, but it's repeated so often. I want you to love one another. So if the church is nothing else, it's got to be a group of people, of men and women, who love each other deeply. I mean, here's a sacred command of God that he's saying over and over and over again. And in John, he makes it so clear in John 13, 34, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another just as I have loved you. You also are to love one another. By this, all people will know that you're my disciples, if you have love for one another. This is Jesus right before he's dying, right before he goes to the cross, right before he institutes communion, the Lord's Supper, for the first time. He's explaining to them, look, here's my new command. I want you to love each other. I'm leaving this earth, and here's the command I give you. I want you to love one another just as I've loved you. I'm about to show you how much I love you, and what I want you to do in return is to love one another that way. That's why, remember, he had just washed their feet. You know, and Peter's like, no, don't do that. No, I'm going to wash your feet. And now here's what I want you to do. He doesn't say, come wash my feet. I want you to wash each other's feet. I want you to do this for one another now. And now I'm about to go to the cross for you. And that's what I want you to do for one another. Like, he wanted us to be known. He says, this is how the people are going to know that you're my disciples, is if you have love for one another. And what drives me crazy is, can you think of one church, one in America, that's known for loving each other? Like, that is their reputation. That is what they're known for. We're known for so many different things, and yet he's saying, this is what I ordered. This is what I wanted. I mean, as a dad of seven children, I imagine if the Lord were to take me home today and I were to leave this earth, what would I want of my kids? You know, I sure hope they would be looking after each other. Like, I'm trying to raise them in such a way that if I'm not there, it's not a big deal. The older ones will take care of the younger ones. They're going to care for each other. They're going to work through this life together. And they're going to hold each other to the commands of God and keep each other on that path. They're going to live like that family. That's God's desire. That's his heart. When we think, remember, what we exist for is what pleases him most. Like, God, what would please you the most? Hopefully you gathered this week, that in your gathering right now, you came with that mindset. Okay, it's not, okay, you guys make me feel better. This is about me. I hope I leave with something. No, but that the goal of your gathering today is, okay, we want him pleased. We want to just do whatever would make him happiest, whatever pleases him most. Well, if he says something over 50 times, you think that's a good place to start? Love each other. Like, if God had it his way, if he could have anything, he would want us so caring for each other's needs. He wouldn't want these boundaries and these limits of what we would give to one another. He wants us to truly act like his kids. It's what any dad wants, but our Heavenly Father even more so. And so you have to think through, are we living this out? And before you get into all of the thoughts of, ooh, how much that may be a sacrifice on your part, let's just remember that God's commands lead to life. God doesn't give these commands because he's trying to ruin your life. He says when the church is really filled with people who love each other just as Christ loved us, it's going to bring so much life to you. And I know we think the opposite. Well, if I come thinking about me and my thoughts, then I'll leave happiest. That's just not true. It's when you come seeking to love other people and other people. This is the way the church was meant to be. When we come to love each other deeply and care for each other's needs, that's when we're going to leave fulfilled. And so I guess the thought I want to leave with you today before you get into your discussion is, can you just make sure that if you're disobedient to this, if your gathering, your group of people, your church is not known like known amongst unbelievers, like, whoa, look at the way they care. If it's not, then change something. This is one of those lessons that's so easy to get convicted about and then change nothing. But in your groups today, get concrete, get tangible. Share feelings with each other. Share truth with each other. Share stuff with each other. But look at this command as extremely, extremely sacred, to where you don't dare leave this gathering without having changed something in your life.
We've talked a little bit about some tangible things that we can love each other with. Thanks for listening to me. Thanks for the socks. I love them. You guys are awesome. And now I'm going to have Debbie and Terry come up, and I think they're going to ask if you guys will help sing a song with them. It's a song you know. It's an easy song. But you can stay there. You can come up here. You know it, Seneca. I'm going to listen for you to sing loud. You do? All right. You guys do it. Show your love to this group of people.